Let me ask you, congregation. Have you been looking? Have you been searching? Have you been praying for a podcast about Kentucky basketball and football?
Yeah! Yes! Yeah!
A show that will speak to you. A show built for you. Something powerful, fun, real, raw, and opinionated.
Yeah! Yeah!
Well, baby, open up your ears as we open up our minds. Let's do this, baby. Let's do it.
Yeah! Yeah! Yes! Yeah!
Welcome to Religiously Kentucky. If it's Kentucky football and basketball, we are all about it. And we're talking about it. And we're damn sure opinionated about it. This is Religiously Kentucky. And now your hosts, Jay Hayes,
the Wild Child,
and J.D. Hall,
the Voice of Reason.
Big Blue Nation, what is up? I'm your guy, Jay Hayes, and he is,
as the intro said, J.D. Hall, his Voice of Reason.
And we are Religiously Kentucky. Took a couple weeks off, or we were forced away for a second.
We took a week off for Mother's Day. We decided to take that week off for Mother's Day.
Yeah,
but we were forced off a week before that.
And we're not gonna do the blame game. It was my fault, of course, always. But no, we're back. And just to jump into it, I want to say that I'm a little more excited. Well, of course, I'm excited about Kentucky football and I can't wait. But my prediction, I was a little worried about our secondary. That worry is going away. I feel better now. Like my prediction, it might make it to that 12-0.
That'd be a huge leap for Kentucky football. To go 12-0.
Yeah, big time.
Because we all know how tough the SEC is, right?
Of course.
Like, I mean, even at Alabama, as good as they are, I mean, they made it to the national championship last year. Yep. Didn't go undefeated. So would it be pretty awesome to go 12-0? Are these three additions that they've made in the secondary going to put them over the top to go 12-0? No. I think, you know, I talked to, the D2 kid is basically depth, just adding depth for this year.
Right.
You know, he's not expected to do anything, not expected to be a contributor this year. But bringing in the kid from Ole Miss, what's his name, Smith?
Yeah.
And then that kid from Texas State, I think that this kid from Texas State, and his name's slipping my mind right now, I don't have it pulled up.
Zion Childers?
Yeah. I think the reason he got a look is just because of his versatility.
Yeah.
Because he played corner, he played nickel, he played safety, he played all three. So
exactly.
It gives you that versatility where if you do have another injury or something like that, you can plug him in anywhere.
Right.
So,
and I like coaches saying, "Oh, he's a football player."
Right.
I love to hear that. So I'm excited.
I think a lot of our worries though with the secondary are probably being lessened anyway if you listen to Van.
Yeah.
You know, on the last space, you know, he's high on Drew Phillips. Yeah, he didn't play last year, but he came in as a 4-star recruit, I believe.
Yeah.
Out of high school. So he's got that talent base to be a contributor. Let's just hope that he takes that step and gets to that level that they need him to get to be that contributor in the secondary.
Right. I mean, I don't want to disappoint with like my prediction. You know, everybody's expecting Jay Hayes to go 12-0.
Well, you know, I mean, what was your prediction? Your prediction last year was what, 10-2?
Yeah.
You know, and I was 8-4.
Yep.
But you know, you just went straight to what your prediction was going to be, and I was like, I want to see what they do.
Settled in, right?
In the first couple of games before. And it ended up, it split the difference. It was right in between. They went 9-3.
Right.
So both of us could have been right with our preseason prediction for the team last year.
Right.
You know, if they win the Tennessee game, then you're right at 10-2. If they drop the Missouri game, then, you know, I'm right at 8-4.
Right.
You know, so I think we're probably looking somewhere around the same for this season.
Yeah.
Just the way it looks. Nine and three, 10-2.
I will say this. We will beat Georgia this year. I'll say that.
You going on that?
At home in November. I'm saying that. We beat Georgia. This is the year.
At home in November is huge.
Yes.
For the potential to pull that upset.
Right.
You know, because they were competitive last year down in Athens in a warm weather game.
Yeah.
So it's not crazy to think that they can win that game in November when it's going to be cold in Lexington.
Right.
At home, it's probably going to be a night game. The atmosphere is going to be nuts.
Bonkers.
For that game because, you know, there is the potential that that's the de facto SEC East Championship game.
Yeah.
winner of that game wins the East. That's a possibility.
That's
so,
what I'm saying.
that's a huge game. And I hope your prediction of them winning the game is right.
Yeah, that's where I'm at with it. Will Levis, Heisman conversation.
Heisman hype.
Hype already.
Top five pick hype. Yeah. Number one pick in what, CBS's mock draft? Not CBS, but
a writer.
Contributor, right. A contributor from CBS. His right. mock draft had him number one.
That's big.
It's huge.
Just to be in that conversation is big.
But let's throw a big butt out there.
Nice. I like big butts.
Slow. we need to slow that train down.
Right, right.
Because say Levis comes out and throws for 3,500 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 15 interceptions. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
That's a great season.
Yeah.
But is that a Heisman season? No, it's not. 30 and 15, when you're talking about our touchdowns, interceptions, that's not a Heisman season. So that's a phenomenal season for a college quarterback. Plus, you add in the yards he's going to gain on the ground with his feet, the touchdowns he's going right. to score, you know, on right. the ground. So you're probably looking at a guy that's going to score 40, you know, account for 40 touchdowns. But it's not going to put him in. It's not going to put him in the Heisman vote. And I don't want our fans to see that early season, preseason hype for Heisman, and then he goes out and he has that great season, but he doesn't get invited to New York for the Heisman. He ends up not being a top 10, top 15 pick. Maybe he falls to the second round.
Right.
You know, and they're like, I thought this guy was supposed to be great. I thought he was supposed to be, you know, Heisman worthy, you know, and then be disappointed and shit on the season that he had, even if it was a great season, but just maybe not a Heisman type season.
Right. Well, football fans are going to know. Yeah, there's always going to be those complainers.
Football fans, yeah. Like yeah. real football fans that right. understand exactly. aren't going to be the ones that are complaining the most. But the problem with the Kentucky fan base is that a lot of those fans are just casuals.
Yeah.
And they don't understand. They read the preseason headlines and the preseason hype and the preseason all, you know, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. And then if you don't live up to that, yeah. whatever it was in the preseason,
you're garbage.
You're terrible.
Right.
You had a shitty season, you know? So that's what I want to see some people kind of back up on.
Right. Well, maybe Will Levis can woo them over with some TikToks or something. You know.
I mean, I like the kid's a he's great. He's awesome.
He is.
Like the TikToks are great
on
like,
the field and off the field.
Right. Like I saw him. I think it was the LSU basketball game. You know, Kentucky LSU game. He was there. You know, watching the game, and I bet he was there for an hour after the game taking pictures.
Right.
With anybody that wanted to take, including me. You know, this big old gray beard dude walking by, like, oh shit, it's Will Levis. Hey, you want to take a pic? You know, he was like, yeah, sure, no problem.
Did you get a pic?
Oh yeah, I did.
I never saw the pic.
Yeah, I put it on Twitter. I'll send it to you after this. But yeah, and like he was taking pictures with everybody, but that's like the type of person he is.
Right.
So I'm glad he's getting all that preseason hype and being talked up like he is. But like I said, we just need to kind of slow that down.
Right.
Just so that he's not overhyped.
Right.
And then people are disappointed because his season didn't live up to what they thought it should have been. You know,
I mean, so what
he's got all the tools.
Do you think it could mess him up?
I don't know. I doubt it.
You know, because some players might take that to the head, you know?
I don't think he's the type of kid that's going to buy into all the,
right, right.
the hype and all. That's why I said he's got all the tools. He's got it mentally.
Yeah, he held it together. Yeah.
Tools with the arm, 6'2", 235.
Yeah.
Like, the kid's a tank. He's got all the physical and all the tools you want in your quarterback. So I don't want that group of casual fans that sees all the preseason stuff
right,
to think if he has a great season, but he doesn't get invited to New York for the Heisman, that he had a terrible, that he was terrible.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and plus you got like CJ Stroud and Bryce Young, you know, these quarterbacks that are already going to go high.
Right.
You know, they were already Heisman winning or there for the Heisman.
And got some major weapons.
Right. So those guys are going to put up huge numbers.
Yeah.
They're going to get invited to New York. They're probably going to be picked before Will Levis. They're the exciting pick.
Right.
You know, they're coming from the perennial power, football power school in Ohio State and Alabama. So
right.
the pro scouts are going to look at those guys probably a little bit higher and value them a little bit more than the quarterback from Kentucky.
Kentucky. That's what it is.
Right.
But yeah, just some things surrounding Kentucky football. I'm excited about it. But there's some bad news too. C-Rod.
Yeah.
DUI. And I'm not like talking down or like judging. I'm just saying get it taken care of and move forward. I've been in situations like that before, my right. damn self. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying, oh, he's a bad person or he's this. Right, or, right, no, I'm okay. saying get that shit taken care of.
My thought on it, driving drunk is one of the most selfish decisions you can make.
Exactly.
Because you not only have the potential to hurt yourself, you have the potential to hurt or kill somebody innocent. Else.
Yeah.
When, especially in a city like Lexington, you've got Uber, you've got Lyft,
too many options, too got, many options got, to take.
You've got how many GAs on yeah. the football team
right.
that part, I would assume part of their job is to be available for a player that needs a ride or needs help or needs something for them to be able to call them and say, hey, I need you to come pick me up. Right. I had a little bit too much to drink. Come get me. You know, he's got options.
Right. I never heard anything of what he blew, though.
Here's the thing. He refused the field sobriety test.
Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tail.
So I don't think we'll hear what his BAC was.
Right.
Because when they took that booking photo and you saw the booking of everything, it was he refused the field sobriety test. So they automatically put you in that DUI category. I believe that's what happens. So they charge you with it because you refused it.
Right.
But whether or not you get ultimately go through the process and that charge sticks,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't like Tina Cox would be yeah. would absolutely be yeah. the one to talk about with this because of what she does for her job. So
right.
Maybe if she hears this, she can, you know, retweet it or whatever with an explanation on her right. side about what could happen with that.
Because then you had the failure to appear.
Which ended up not being his fault because right. I guess in the state right. of Kentucky.
It happens a lot.
The person charged does not have to appear. Their lawyer can appear for
right.
them.
Right.
And there was a scheduling issue with his lawyer. But if I'm C-Rod, that's a red flag for me and my lawyer. This easy thing, just showing up for my arraignment and you yeah. guys mess it up. What are you going to do when it gets to actual court and we right. start going through the process? What's going to happen then?
Right.
So maybe we see him change lawyers now after that. I don't know. But it's definitely a situation that's not good.
No.
The silver lining of it is the running back room is super deep.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily a death blow to the team if, say, C-Rod is suspended, which I believe he should be suspended.
Right.
But it's not because the room is so deep with you got Juton, you got Smoke, you got Lavelle Wright, you got Donut, you got all these guys that are there and ready to contribute and have shown the ability to contribute. I think if we lose C-Rod for two games, three games, whatever it ends up being, it's not going to be detrimental to the team.
Yeah, I don't believe so either.
Because you got guys that can do the same thing that he can do.
Right. Well, and there's also people out there saying we need to just get rid of him. He did this and that's bad. And I don't believe that. I believe in second chance. People like, mess up, make mistakes.
Right.
People this is obviously
his,
one.
And it's his first mistake.
Yeah.
Like this, right? Yeah. So when it's the first time doing something like this or having this happen, you don't kick him to the curb. You don't
right.
kick him off the team.
You help
like,
him.
What was the kid's name from a few years ago? Gotten all that, like it was issue after issue. I think it was from Louisville. Issue after issue after issue. And then they finally, like it came down to like he was accused of sexual assault or whatever. He's a defensive end. I can't remember his name, but they finally was like, dude, we can't help you anymore. You got
right.
like, you're off the team. They kicked him off the team. What the hell is his name? Anyway, it doesn't matter. We'll figure it, like somebody will figure that out. But, you know, they gave him chance after chance after chance.
Right. Well, people deserve a second chance.
Right.
You know, if you keep right. messing up, then we're going to have to move
on.
He got
like three chances.
Right.
You know, so I don't think C-Rod's going to be kicked off the team. I don't think he's gone. I don't think right. anything. Like it. There was just a picture on Twitter today, I think his dad put up of him in his graduation gown. So
good stuff.
He's still doing the things that he needs to do.
Right.
He just needs to get this taken care of. And he does have to face some sort of discipline for it. Because right. like I said, in my opinion, driving drunk is one of the most selfish things,
right.
selfish decisions
and to
that
anyone,
you can make.
If you're drinking out, do not drive Uber, Lyft, whatever. Do not drive.
Absolutely.
Too many right. options out there to get you home.
There's way too many options.
Right. But that's what we got going on. I'm excited, man, and I'm not far away, like I said, from saying 12-0.
I'm hyped up
about it.
It doesn't take much to get you to that 12-0.
That's right. Optimistic. So, optimistic as, right. as can be. But yeah, I probably won't say 12-0, but I will say we beat Georgia this year. That's going to be my big one. But moving right along into some basketball stuff, Kellen Grady, Keon Brooks, invited to the G League.
Mm-hmm. Good for them.
Yeah, that's good. We kind of knew that Keon Brooks would
right.
make a move at something.
Right.
Transfer, G League, testing. We kind of knew that. Good to see Kellen Grady getting the invite.
Get the invite, yeah. Because I think, you know, you go to the G League camp, and if you perform well there at that combine, Then you get an invite to the big combine the next week.
Right.
So hopefully both those guys go there and show out and get that invite to the main combine and get a chance to show out there.
Right.
And maybe impress a team and you know, maybe not get drafted. Hopefully they get drafted.
Right.
But maybe they impress somebody enough for them to sign them to a summer league contract. And then you go to the summer league and you ball out in Vegas at summer league. And that summer league contract turns into a two-way contract, you know, and you just work your way through that work your way up and eventually get to the point where you're living your dream of being an NBA player. So
have we lost all hope for Shaedon Sharpe? He gone?
I think fans should expect him to be gone.
Yeah.
But, like, if he does come back, is it going to be a complete shock that Shaedon Sharpe came back and is still part of the team and is playing next year? No, because we were already told he's enrolled in summer classes. He's enrolled in fall classes. He left all of his shit at the lodge. Like, if you're gone, 100% gone, those are just things that you don't do.
Right.
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 They're not things that make sense for somebody who's 100% gone to do. You move your stuff out of the lodge. You don't sign up for summer classes. You don't sign up for fall classes.
Right.
And then if things change, maybe I can come back for the fall classes, you know, whatever.
Right.
And I get it. Like, people are going to say he's just covering his ass. And he maybe is. Maybe he is.
Yeah.
But if you're 100% gone, then I don't think you make those decisions to cover your ass, because your ass is already gone and it's covered because you're going to the NBA draft.
At this point, you don't care. Yeah, I give it two damns what somebody thinks about me or says about me.
That's why I don't think it's a done deal 100% that he's gone.
Right.
I think that,
you know, somewhere someone's listening is going to shaking their head going, he's gone, man. I don't even know why y'all do this.
Right. And we're not saying that he's coming back. But all we're saying is that there are things that have been done that you do not do if you are 100% gone and leaving.
Right.
So I say expect him to be gone. Expect him to stay in the draft.
Yeah.
But don't be shocked and blown away if he does come back, if he does decide to play, because, you know, we all read the article that Kyle Tucker put out right after, or I think it was right after he was on with us, or maybe right before he was on with us, talking about that whole situation where Sharpe and his parents and the coaching staff were all like, yes, okay, let's play. We're going to play this year. We got these injuries. You're going to come in and help. And Dwayne Washington shut it down.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I think at that point he had a lot of control over Shaedon Sharpe and his family.
And he hadn't got his NBA agent license. Right.
He failed. He failed that test. He didn't get approved. So does he still have that same level of control on the Sharpe family that he had maybe back then, with all the stuff that's come out, you know, him telling NBA teams that, oh, he's going to the draft, he's not going back to Kentucky, but then telling Cal, oh, we're coming back, he's going to play next year. And then the only thing you heard from Sharpe and his parents were, we're coming back. You know, that was the only thing being told to the staff from that side and their point of view, was that we're coming back. We're going to be there next year. But you have Dwayne Washington going behind their back and telling NBA teams, hey, no, we're leaving. We're going to be in the NBA. So
I'm wondering how these NBA guys are looking at this guy now.
The Players Association is probably not happy.
Right.
You know, because there's all this talk about how they're going to fight. Like, if Shaedon Sharpe gets approved, you know, they're going to fight that approval for the draft because of how shady it looks.
Yeah.
You know, you have the original graduation date of December, but now all of a sudden it's May.
Yeah. Too many things changed. Yeah.
Right. So maybe he had the credits in May, but you don't graduate in May and then spend the whole summer not doing anything. And then you go, not doing anything, but you graduate in May. As soon as you graduate, you're not eligible to play in EYBL. So if he graduated in May, those games that he played in June, July, or whatever it was for the EYBL, he wasn't eligible to play at the Peach Jam. So if you graduate in May, one, you don't play in those games. Two, you don't go back to high school to play for 2 months.
Yeah.
You don't go to school for, what, 2 or 3 months before the basketball season even starts, just so you can play a month of basketball?
Weird.
That's what doesn't make sense to me. That's when I look at that, when I heard that situation, when that came out, that's what didn't make sense to me, because all those things have to line up for it to make sense.
It's Tennessee math. That's all it is.
So,
but yeah.
But I don't think our fans should be in total shock if he does come back.
Right.
Because of some of the things that he's done since the season ended, with leaving his stuff at the lodge and scheduled or registering for classes and that stuff. So
right. And then we got Ty Washington, probably gonna be a nice pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm. One thing, Calipari and Kentucky, we generally bring in guards that perform better with space.
Right.
Emmanuel Quickley, look what he's done in the NBA, you know, yeah. So far, you know, Tyrese Maxey this year, you know, Devin Booker, you know, all these guys at the guard position that have excelled from Kentucky when they got to the league,
yeah,
excel in space. And that's one thing that you don't really get in the college game, is you don't get a lot of space.
Right.
Because of just the way the floor is, you know, and with the defensive three, you don't have the defensive 3 second call. Like there's so many different things that create more space in the NBA game.
And Jonathan Givani has repeatedly, I want to say, talk shit about Cal's offense. And then all these guys that you just mentioned just excelling in the NBA.
Right. But here's the thing. Like, I saw somebody breaking down the tweets that Givani put out and was like, this isn't even what happened here. Like,
right.
On the first one, Ty got a wide open 10-foot jump shot.
Right.
You know, he missed it. It had nothing to do with the defense.
Right.
He was wide open.
Exactly.
But Ty is another one of those guys in that same mold that's going to excel with that extra space around him. And with, you know, he's got the mid-range, he's got the floater. You know, there was a workout video that just came out the other day of him, you know, draining threes, you know. So he's got the full floor offensive game, and he's got the size, because even though he's only 6'3", he's a thicker kid.
Right.
Like he's a well-built kid. So I think he's going to be another one of those players in the mold of IQ and Maxey that once they get settled in and they get that chance to play and be on the floor, you're going to see a kid who's going to put up some good numbers.
Yeah. I see him excelling in the NBA. Last and not least, before we get into the dumb shit, Jay Lucas to Duke. Couple weeks before that.
Who to where?
Which is crazy, because a couple weeks before that, we heard that he turned down the job. It was like, good for him. And then he takes the job.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm past that. So, like you said, who?
When you look at that, he turned down a job like 10 days before.
Right.
And then he accepts the job. What does that tell you happened? To me, it tells me that John Shire was like, I really want this guy. So he's not only going to get a bump in pay, but we're also going to give him a bump in position on the bench. Because like it or not, Jay Lucas was fourth on that coaching staff.
Right.
Behind O, Chin, and Bruiser. And Bruiser wasn't an on-court assistant.
Right.
Jay Lucas was paid $150,000 less per year than Bruiser Flint.
Right.
To be an assistant to the head coach.
Facts.
So to me, even if the pay is only, say it's only $75,000 more, so he's getting paid $375,000 a year. But he goes to that bench where you got John Shire as a first-year head coach. You've got Emil Jefferson, who was literally just promoted after the season from a GA to assistant. And then you have Chris Carriwell, and you add Jay Lucas. So he automatically, and now Chris Carriwell was on the staff already. So at the very least, Jay Lucas goes from the fourth guy on the Kentucky bench to number two on Duke's bench.
Yep.
So regardless if you think it's a promotion or a lateral move, it's a fucking promotion.
It's definitely a promotion.
It's a promotion because he's going to have more responsibility. He's going to have a better chance of moving up. He's going to be able to show more of what he can do if he wants to be a head coach.
Yeah.
Which, if we're being honest, every assistant coach aspires to be a head coach.
Right.
So if you're Jay Lucas, or if you're Jay Hayes, and you're on Kentucky's bench, and you get that same offer from Duke, you're taking that.
Oh, no, Jay Hayes ain't taking it.
Jay Hayes is taking that job,
too.
No,
hell no.
I guarantee Jay Hayes is taking that job.
No.
You can sit there and keep saying no. But if you've got aspirations to be a head coach and you're getting a promotion at a place like Duke, you're taking that job. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you played. It doesn't matter who you are. You're taking that job. So, you know, nobody was bitching about loyalty with Jay Lucas when he left Texas.
Right.
Where he played at Texas. And why did he leave Texas? Because he got a promotion to come to Kentucky. Right. So he became the recruiting coordinator at Kentucky, which he wasn't at Texas, I don't believe. So he got a new title and a promotion and extra responsibility. He's getting the same thing going to Duke. He may not get a new title. He's not going to get the associate head coach title. Probably not. I wouldn't think. We'll see. We'll see when that whole staff shakeup settles out where who gets what title. But like I said, even if he doesn't get that number one spot on the assistant list, it's still a promotion from where he was at Kentucky.
Right. Hey.
So
like I say, you got to keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
get that money. That's what it's about.
And especially like I said, if you're a coach in that business, assistant coaches don't stay at places that long, especially bottom level assistant coaches.
Right.
Maybe a top level guy is going to stick around for a while because they're getting paid really well. Like I think O's getting paid like $850 a year or something like that.
Right.
You know, so they get paid really, really well. So maybe they stick around, but you don't have guys in that number three spot, the number four spot that stick around.
Yeah.
You know, like hell, Brad Calipari is leaving. You know, he got an assistant coaching job and I can't remember where it's at, but yeah. Like his dad's the freaking head coach and he's leaving.
Brooklyn.
Are we going to bitch about? Yeah. Was it LIU?
I believe so.
It might've been. Yeah. Now that you say that.
But this is the question though. There has been no talk, no rumors out there, really nothing about a new hire for Kentucky.
We talked about this. We talked about this before the show started.
Yeah,
I think you retweeted from the Religious of Kentucky Twitter, a podcast or something. Yeah,
Kentucky 15. Shout out to them, Kentucky 15.
That there's a talk about a playoff assistant coach that they're targeting to fill that spot.
Right.
Now, I mean, if that's the case, that would be a home run hire. That would be huge.
Right.
Bringing in a guy that's got NBA experience to your sideline. The other thing that I've heard and read about is that the talk about sliding Bruiser down to fill that spot for a year, because now you've got continuity with the staff. You've got continuity with the players. They know that guy. They've already had communication with him. They've worked with him. They know him.
Yeah.
So you're not bringing in somebody new this late in the process, because if we're being honest, it is late in the process to bring an assistant coach from another school to Kentucky. It's starting to get pretty late. So maybe that's the route that they go. And I'm fine with that. Slide Bruiser down there for a year while you're figuring out who you really want to target, who you want to bring in.
Right.
And once you zero in on that guy at the end of the season, then you can bring him in like April, the end of April, middle of April, whatever. And you got him on staff 2 months earlier than where you would have him now. But you've already targeted that guy and you know, okay, this is the guy I'm bringing in. This is the guy I want. This is who I'm bringing in. Instead of, okay, well, Jay Lucas left 2 weeks ago and now we got to find a new coach to fill that spot. And we haven't even started the process of maybe identifying who we want to fill that spot. Now you've got an entire season to do that if you slide Bruiser down to that spot. So I'm good either way, however they go. If they bring in, if it does end up being an NBA playoff assistant coach, I'm good with that. If it ends up being Bruiser Flint for an extra season, I'm good with that. I trust the staff to make the right decision because you've already got your top two assistants locked in.
Right.
With O and Chin. Those are the guys you're going to lean on in recruiting and right. everything anyway.
Right. The only decision I'm going to be happy with is Tracy McGrady.
But he doesn't have a college degree, so he can't be an assistant coach. Rondo, right. I don't think he came back and graduated. People talking about John Wall, he doesn't have a fucking degree. Like all these players that are being thrown out, Tyler Ulis, he hasn't come back and gotten his degree.
Seems like I read that Tracy McGrady ended up getting degrees somewhere along the line.
I don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe I'm wrong.
But you make a good point
about this.
You make a good point there, though. That's I did not think about that.
Tyler Ulis, he hasn't come back and got his degree because the University of Kentucky be pimping that out. You know, Ulis, he came back and graduated. But I think he's also got a conflict of interest because he's part of an NIL company. So is he going to give up that part of his life and that give up his business to be an assistant coach?
Right.
So
facts.
But you kept seeing all those names over and over again. And it's like, dude, come on. Like if he doesn't have a college degree, don't even mention him.
I think it's more fun than anything.
It is because of the nostalgia of those players.
Yeah. And social media is like that. You know, you're just going to throw somebody like me. I like Tracy McGrady. Big fan.
Right.
Would love it. That's great. And that's fun to put out there on social media to be like, yeah, you know, but
right.
It's not likely going to happen.
And, you know, he's got that star power.
Yeah. Big time.
You know, because he was an NBA great. So I don't think they're going to go that route because we heard that all that before about Jalen Rose, you know,
right.
potentially coming to be on the bench at Kentucky, but he gets paid like $8 million a year or something like that from ESPN. He ain't leaving ESPN.
Right.
For a $400,000 a year job. Right? That's not happening. He's not giving up that $8 mil or $10 mil or whatever it is for $400,000 just to be a coach at Kentucky. It's not happening.
Right.
So maybe set your sights a little bit lower than Jalen Rose leaving ESPN to be a coach at Kentucky.
Yeah.
Right. So it's not like when Hubert left ESPN to go to North Carolina, because I think Hubert Davis had been an assistant coach at one point before and just went back to coaching.
Yeah.
Right. So I think he was only on ESPN because he got fired as a staff member on a head coach got fired. So he lost his job and he ended up at ESPN. I don't know.
Right. I feel like
that would be the story with him.
I think it's interesting though, that there's really not been a lot of talk, none really, about who the next guy will be. Really, you know, just been kind of quiet.
That's not exactly odd for the University of Kentucky and Calipari. Everything stays quiet, you know, recruiting leaks and all that stuff. Unless Cal is putting that shit out there, you're not hearing it. And I know, like, recruiting guys don't like that because it makes their job harder because they got to come up with content too. And you know, Travis Graff and David Sisk and all these guys, Travis Branham on 24/7, like, they have a job to do too. So I understand if they get frustrated with Calipari and the way that he runs the basketball program and being so tight-lipped about with what's going on, but that's the way it's always been. You don't, you know, loose lips sink ships.
Right.
And like when Kevin Knox committed, nobody thought he was coming to Kentucky, but then all of a sudden, boom, there he is. He's at Kentucky. So, and I would find it hard to believe that the first time that Calipari talked to a dude was when he went to the in-home visit, right?
Yeah.
That's not the first time that he started talking to that kid to recruit him to come to Kentucky.
Right.
Like, you don't just be like, hey, you know what? There's this kid. His dad used to play for me at Memphis. Let's go stop in and do a home visit on him.
Yeah.
And offer him a scholarship on that home visit.
Right. Right.
So that process was moving before it got to that
exactly.
point. So I'm not surprised we aren't hearing anything. But again, I'll also trust the staff and the hire that they make to be a good hire, to be the right hire.
Right.
Because if you read into Calipari's statement after Jay Lucas left and about what they're targeting for the next assistant coach, he focused on player development.
Yeah.
And it seems like there was an issue from the staff and Cal that weren't real high on Jay's player development once they got to campus. So, and I'm not saying that's true or not, but there are people that are reading into his statement about what they're looking for in their next assistant coach that are spinning it that way.
Right.
But I'm not worried about it. Like, I tweeted out that day, like, losing Jay Lucas doesn't move the needle for me.
Right.
When you're talking about the last assistant on the bench, it doesn't move the needle for me. I think what people were pissed off about is because it was Duke.
Yeah.
Had it been any other school, nobody would have given two shits about it.
Right.
But there's this perceived slight or whatever because he went to Duke.
Yeah.
Like, get over yourself. Like,
it was like a lot of things that I saw was like the fire Calipari people were like, Cal's really lost it now. Like, it's
like, what's going on? There's got to be something going
something
on.
Something is going There's on. Yeah. Yeah.
It can't be. Yeah. No, yeah. it was a guy taking a
promotion. Yeah.
Right.
But that's what we got going on with Kentucky. It's a weird time right now. No football. No basketball. The things that we talk about, other things going on around the program, all that stuff.
I do want to mention this, that the 4x400 women's relay team set a collegiate record last night for Kentucky and winning that at the SEC championships. And Abby Steiner ran a 48.8 third leg on the 400.
She is definitely a superstar. Kentucky tennis.
Elite eight.
Just Kentucky. Yep. Kentucky is an everything school. And congratulations to all the folks. We talk about football and basketball, which there is none right now. So that's where we're at. So you know what time it is.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
And now it's time for the dumbest shit from Twitter this week.
It's dumb, dumbass.
What do you got, JD?
Well, let's start with David Lindsay. It was a reply to Vince Merrow highlighting Wandale and can't wait to see this guy go to work on Sundays. And David Lindsay decides the smart thing to do is to tweet the big dog and say, what's up with recruiting? Louisville's killing us in football and recruiting. Time to change it up. Kentucky is falling behind.
Breaking news. It's proven that you get zero bitches.
If I'm not mistaken, the highest rated recruiting class in Kentucky football history coming in this year.
Facts.
Yeah. If not the highest, the second highest.
David Lindsay has been lost
somewhere.
Number
15 in the country.
Yeah.
Right? Number 15 in the country. or a top 15 class. We also have a top 25 transfer portal class.
Right.
Coming in. I don't give a shit what Louisville is bringing. Louisville is so far behind Kentucky on the football field that them bringing in a couple of players from California ain't going to do shit for the results on the field.
When you sent this to me, I was like, this isn't real. This is not real.
It can't be real. It can't be real.
Damn.
But apparently it is. I didn't go to his timeline because I'm sure it's more of that, all that shit.
Oh, yeah.
But when I was talking about Will Levis and the casuals, that's the kind of guy I was talking about.
Oh, damn, yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Who's not going to understand that 3,500 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 15 interceptions is a pretty good year.
Right. I'm willing to bet there's some cow comments on his page.
Oh, I bet there's cow comments. I bet there's, if we go back far enough, I bet there's fire stoop comments.
Oh, yeah. What we got next here?
What's next? Go ahead.
Johnny Hart.
I want you to say, I'm angry. It's okay. I'll process my anger. I love myself.
Sorry, but coming to UK and refusing to play is not acceptable. Make your money, but don't use the university, which is in reference to Shaden Sharp.
Right. But then again, that's another person that obviously hasn't kept up with what the situation was around Sharp.
Right.
Because Sharp and his parents were going to play this year.
Yeah.
And Dwayne Washington shut it down.
Right.
That's all the reports out there about that situation say the same thing. No matter who you talk to, whether it's Jack Pilgrim or Kyle Tucker. And let's be honest, Kyle has been one of the best guys to read about the Shaden Sharp situation.
Yeah.
He's been right on top of it and probably had the best content out there about it. So it wasn't a Shaden Sharp that came and refused to play.
Right.
Right. It was somebody else that's taken and handling Shaden Sharp would not let him play.
Right. So Johnny Hart, that's not it.
No. and I'll bet that tiniest of chance that Shaden Sharp comes back, Johnny Hart will be one of the first ones out there. Oh, he's so great. And cheering him on.
Yeah.
Instead of, just another one of those casuals that doesn't know anything. He just wants to go out there and spew some stupid shit on Twitter because that's what Twitter allows people to do.
And if people would be motivators instead of just really haters, like motivate somebody, even if it's your team, motivate somebody to the next level. You should be pushing this kid on to make his dreams come true and make that money, man, regardless.
Right.
So just no, absolutely not. What else do you got?
Well, you sent this to me right wasn't long before we came on. So you tweeted out yesterday.
Okay, yeah.
I just gave my dog half my filet mignon, the Calipari from Malone's. She's looking at me now like, where the hell has that been?
Yeah.
And some dude today decided to tweet to you, just like UK basketball can't finish.
I don't want peace. I want problems always.
You took time out of your day to write something negative to somebody that just gave a piece of steak to his dog.
You sent me another tweet too after that, but I can't see it. I must be blocked. But
this is from Christy Polymath.
That's all I can see.
Who cares about Calipari?
Emotional damage.
His players,
fans, everybody.
Fans,
his name is on the menu at Malone's, which what I was talking about.
He's a Hall of Fame coach. I don't know. Maybe his wife and his daughters and his son care about Calipari.
Right. But then you go to these pages and there's like, they're following 40 people, zero followers. They just started the page. So,
That's what it is. It's always the ones with no followers.
Right. And I'll get on social media and I'll have fun trolling out of fun. Like, not like seriously hating someone. I just don't do that. It amazes me that people can get on any social media, Twitter, and just hate.
Fuck your life. Bing bong.
That's a sad life. Sad way to live. Like, you're taking time to write something negative to somebody, you know? And I was just sharing that. Went out to eat some Malone's. I did get the Calipari, which came with, I got the 12-ounce filet mignon, lobster tail. And
a ton of food.
Yeah, I had a salad, ate a half of a sushi roll. Baked potato.
You are better than me though, because I am not giving my dog half a filet.
Well, see, man, my dog's part of the family. So yeah. And I was like, you know what? Let me treat my dog. So Yeah, I cut it up a piece, and she was looking at me, man. I wish I would have recorded this look that she had, because really looking at me like, dude, where's this been in my life? Yeah, where the hell did this come from? Like, so, yeah, I mean, man, it's not like I would do that often, because I would rarely do that ever. But right. It was just that time. I was full, and I was like, let me treat my dog. So that's what it is. And then, of course, I made a little tweet, and it brought out the hate. Like, people just hating everywhere.
And what does your tweet have to do with Calipari and basketball? That's like the dumbest part of all. Like,
right.
I understand giving you shit for not being able to finish it and giving it to your dog. But, like, seriously, look, you're turning this around into Calipari hate?
Right. Calipari was a trigger for some folks. Right. they just lost it. Like,
right. It's nuts.
It's crazy. But yeah. So that was the dumbest shit from Twitter this week. It's out there, folks. And we challenge you once again to not put the dumbest shit out there. But it'll never end. And that's where we are. And we'll continue to make fun of it. Because it's just it's just silly.
And we will. I think we talked about this maybe on the last episode that we recorded, but the dumbest shit's gonna be getting a little bit of a refresh and a little bit different, because every so often we're gonna be bringing on guests, Twitter friends, whatever, to do their own little segment of dumb shit.
Like,
we're not gonna send them tweets or whatever. You know, they're gonna pick out the dumb shit that they want to talk about, and they're gonna come on the show this last 15 minutes or whatever. And they're going to lead the dumb shit discussion, because it's going to be their little segment.
Yeah. And we're going to clown. Because, you know, I'm going to clown.
Oh, yeah. we're still going to have our part in it. But
yeah,
we're not going to lead that discussion when we bring these guys in. It's going to be the focus is going to be on them to
yeah, because
show.
We have Twitter friends that want to call out some damn dumbasses.
That want to do it. Like, you know, so, and our first guest that's coming on next week was supposed to be on 2 weeks ago. We had the technical difficulties. Like, she was all teed up and ready to go. Sent me 5 tweets that I was going to have up on the screen and everything ready. Like, I had the tab or the window separated so I could share the screen and the tweets. And
just make me feel great. Just make me feel great, JD.
But she's lined up to come on and be that first guest dumb shitter.
Yeah,
next week. So, and she's excited about it. So, fans of the show, of Twitter, whatever, our followers, you're going to recognize a lot of these people that we bring on, because most of them aren't going to be, well, let's be honest, probably none of them are going to be media people or anybody that's a big name. They're just going to be our followers and our friends off Twitter and letting them come in and do this segment and have fun with it.
Everyone has a voice.
But if you're our Twitter friends, you're gonna recognize a lot of these people we're bringing on.
Yeah,
you know, I've already reached out to like 3 or 4 people about coming on and doing this. So, and they're all like, "Absolutely, I'm down, ready to go. Let's do it." Like, so it's not gonna be like an every week thing, but maybe every 4 weeks, stuff like that. Once a month, we're gonna bring a guest on to liven up and freshen up the dumb shit.
Right.
Siri just needs to close her ears and stop talking to me.
Who would you like to call, JD?
I think it's gonna be fun. I think people are gonna enjoy hearing another voice.
Yeah.
Doing this dumb shit, because we've said it before in the past. It gets harder and harder every week
for me and you
to come up and do this dumb shit, because it's a lot of the same stuff, and we're trying to find different angles and different things to say about a lot of the same stuff. So we might have to start doing like dumb headlines or something like that. Like, you know, just crazy stories that we're seeing out there instead of just the, you know, dumb sports takes.
Yeah. So, dumb shit has so much potential.
Dumb shit is dumb shit.
There's a lot of dumb shit out there.
There's a lot of dumb shit. We can go in so many different directions with dumb shit.
Right.
But we've kind of stuck to the Kentucky
sports
angle so far. So it doesn't have to be that. It can be anything dumb. We just don't want to get too serious,
right?
Like, we like to have fun, laugh. I think we've gotten serious on the dumb shit twice,
for good reason.
But for the most part, we've kind of kept it pretty light, pretty fun, and that's what we want to we want to keep doing when we bring these guests on. So, yeah, I hope everyone that listens enjoys what we're going to be doing next with it.
Yeah, and if you got some dumb shit to talk about, hit us up and join the show sometime. And also follow JD on Twitter at Tiffin Wildcat. And you can follow me at J Hayes KY. Follow a podcast, Religiously Pod, on Twitter and on Facebook. I'm your guy, Jay Hayes, and he is
JD Hall.
And we are Religiously Kentucky.
Sadly, we're at the end. You've been listening to Religiously Kentucky. They say all good things must come to an end, and this was a damn good thing. But the good news for you is we'll be back soon. Thank you for listening to Religiously Kentucky. As you can see, we are not passing around the offering plates. Instead, we just ask you that you tell a friend about the show and tell them that the podcast is available on Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. And you can find us on all social media platforms. Until next time, Big Blue Nation, this is Religiously Kentucky, signing off.